This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. My name is Chris Banks. If you're tuning into Film Bookcast for the first time, first of all, welcome. And what I do on this podcast is discuss the latest film and TV show news. I also review an in-theater film. You can find more about Film Bookcast on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line. Now let's head on over to some TV show news. Jameela Jamil will take her first steps in the Marvel Universe as she joins the cast of Disney Plus's She-Hulk. She-Hulk is a legal comedy that centers on the attorney who has similar powers to her cousin, who is Bruce Banner or the Hulk. The actress from The Good Place will play Tatiana, a supervillain first introduced to the Marvel Universe in 1984 and created by Jim Shooter. She joins previously announced cast Tatiana Maslany, Mark Ruffalo, Tim Roth, Ginger Gonzaga, Renee Elise Goldsberry, and many more. Ruffalo will reprise his role as the Hulk, and Roth will return as the Abomination, a character he previously played for the Incredible Hulk film. She-Hulk is going to be directed by Kat Kowiro and Anu Valeya. Jessica Gao is serving as the head writer. In some more TV news, ahead of the season 2 premiere of C, Apple TV has ordered the third season of its post-apocalyptic drama series starring Jason Momoa. Apple released a season 2 trailer which introduces new cast member Dave Bautista, but also announced that the third season has been ordered. Stephen Knight writes the series, and it takes place in the far future, and humankind has lost its sense of sight. Season 2 premieres August 27th, and very exciting to know that Season 3 is already in development. In some more TV news, Aurora Perrineau joins Season 4 of HBO's Westworld. Aurora Perrineau is set for a key recurring role in the upcoming fourth season of HBO's Westworld. Her character is being kept under wraps, but I've heard Perrineau is expected to appear in at least 5 episodes. Rounding out the week in TV news is the biggest driver for subscribers for HBO Max in 2021 was not exclusive blockbusters like Godzilla vs. Kong or even Zack Snyder's long-awaited redo of Justice League. Instead, it was a show that hasn't aired a new episode since George W. Bush was president. HBO Max's highly anticipated Friends reunion was responsible for the largest single-day signups for Warner Media, according to data released Friday by market-measuring Antenna. Wonder Woman 1984 is still responsible for the largest single-day signups, but the Friends reunion, the first time the main cast were all in the same room together since the NBC comedy series finale 17 years ago, accounted for 57% of the total new signups, compared to just 43% over the previous 8 weeks. The Friends reunion was a major programming push for HBO Max. As of the end of March, Warner Media reported 44 million subscribers for HBO Max. Massive numbers for HBO Max. That's it for TV news. Let's check out some TV trailers now. From HBO Max, Power Always Wins as Gossip Girl, the iconic series Gossip Girl, returns to streaming July 8th. They just released a 2-minute trailer where the series looks like it's going to take on an extremely modern flavor. I'm very excited for this series. Check out the trailer for Gossip Girl. It's streaming July 8th on HBO Max. Is killing your husband aspirational? Check out the newest trailer from AMC's series Kevin Can F Himself. It debuts June 20th on AMC. Rounding out the week in TV trailers comes The White Lotus from HBO. It'll debut July 11th. And check out the trailer. It seems like a very funny but creepy limited series based in a hotel, an extravagant hotel with tons of crazy rich white people. Check out the trailer for The White Lotus on HBO. It'll debut July 11th. Let's switch up gears. Let's head on over to film news now. In some casting news, Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore are set to star in the next film from Carol director Todd Haynes. This film is called May December. Haynes is directing the film based on a script by Sammy Burke, and production is set to begin next year. It'll be the sixth time that Moore and Haynes have worked together, including the Oscar-nominated performance in Far From Heaven. May-December is described as an exploration of truth and the impossibility of trying to fully understand another person. The movie follows a woman who, 20 years earlier, had a notorious tabloid romance with a man who was 23 years younger than her. Now, as their twins prepare to graduate high school, a Hollywood actress comes to visit in order to better understand her and portray her in a movie. But their family dynamics begin to unravel with the pressure of the outside gaze, leading the woman's husband to begin to confront what happened and what it means to be an empty nester when he's just 36 years old. Very exciting film news. In some more film casting news, Michael Pena is set to join Owen Wilson in Paramount's Secret Headquarters. It's directed by duo Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman. The film is a high-concept family action movie about a kid who discovers the secret headquarters of the world's most powerful superhero, hidden beneath his home and must defend it with his group of friends when villains attack. It's unknown who Pena will be playing, but the film is set to bow on August 12, 2022. Rounding out the week in film news is some hopeful news about a biopic about the late comedy legend Bernie Mac. It's in development by John Legend's production company, Get Lifted. Apparently, Bernie Mac's estate doesn't know about it yet, but he rose to prominence on the Chicago stand-up comedy circuit before becoming one of the biggest comedic stars of film and television in the early 2000s. His lead performance on The Bernie Mac Show is what led him there. On the big screen, he was best known for appearing alongside Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, and D.L. Hughley in Spike Lee's stand-up showcase film, The Original Kings of Comedy, as well as his performance as Frank Canton in the Oceans trilogy. Further details on this project have not been disclosed yet, but a very fitting tribute to Bernie Mac. Now let's head on over to some film trailers. The Boss is back, baby! As The Boss Baby 2 Family Business comes out next month. They just released a newest trailer, and check it out, it's a super fun, awesome trailer for The Boss Baby 2 Family Business. It's coming out in theaters July 2nd, but it's also going to be streaming on Peacock. July 2nd. Do you find yourself drawn to places you've never been? Check out the trailer for Infinite, starring Mark Wahlberg. From the director of Training Day and The Equalizer, Infinite comes out June 10th. It's streaming on Paramount Plus. Check out the trailer now. Let's just keep up the theme of awesome animation films. Check out the trailer for Paw Patrol, the movie. It looks like an awesome fun ride. Comes out August 20th in theaters and also on Paramount Plus. All right, time for this week's movie review. For this week's movie review, we're going to check out The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. It's based on The Devil in Connecticut by Gerald Brittle. It's written by James Wan and David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. It's directed by Michael Chavis. Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson are back playing Lorraine Warren and Ed Warren. Sterling Gerrans plays Judy and Julian Hillard plays David. There's many others in the cast as well. It's currently in theaters and it's on HBO Max. Paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren take on one of the most sensational cases of their careers after a cop stumbles upon a dazed and bloodied young man walking down the road. Accused of murder, the suspect claims demonic possession as his defense, forcing the Warrens into a supernatural inquiry unlike anything they've ever seen before. If you've seen the previous two Conjurings, I've only seen the first one. I was pleasantly surprised by this film. It's terrifyingly well done. The story is based on a true story, which is insane. But the way it's done, the way the story is told, the way that they give you, the film is the story, but then they juxtapose it to scenes in the courthouse during the trial. So you're able to absorb the facts around this scenario and situation. But the way that the story is done and the way it's written and the flow of the movie is really well done. It's haunting. It's terrifying. It's very strong. It's a very strong horror movie. I love horror and I love exorcism films, and this is really well done. Because the way it's done, the visual storytelling of Michael and whoever the cinematographer is, really is terrifying and haunting. And the scenes of exorcism, the scenes of nightmares or terrifying unexplainable encounters are really well done, and the movie is very scary. And if you see it in theaters, it just adds to the experience of the whole film. But Vera does a great job. Everybody does a great job on the cast, but particularly Vera is really powerful in her facial expressions and the way that she helps tell the story just through her eyes and face. Patrick Wilson does an amazing job. The kids do an amazing job. Sterling Gerrans, Julian Hillard, Riari O'Connor. Everybody does an amazing job in the film. It's really scary. I remember The Exorcism of Emily Rose back in like 2000 and early 2000s. And this reminded me of that because there are scenes in this movie that are hauntingly terrifying. And the bigger screen you see it on and the louder the audio is, the more it's going to add to the experience of the film. It's a very well done movie. The story is good. I haven't read the book, but I would like to now to learn more about the case because what a crazy situation that is. How powerful the storytelling is making me think about supernatural occurrences in a much more fluid way, because I'm a very logical thinker, but I'm also creative. But this movie has me thinking about supernatural stuff in a way that I just really have never before, because of the powerful visual storytelling and just the well-done piece that it is. So if you're a fan of The Conjuring, if you've seen 1 and 2, I think, I've only seen 1, but I think 3 is much better than 1. I haven't seen 2, so I can't speak on that, but if you're a fan of the series, definitely check out the third installment of The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. It's currently in theaters, and it's on HBO Max. I would give it a solid 8.5 out of 10 even, because for an exorcism movie, the way it's done, the audio effects, the visual effects, the special effects, the physical acting, intertwining it with a real book, you know, and because it's a real story. Very, very well done. Congratulations to everybody on the cast and for this film, because I see it in theaters if you can, because it's much better in theaters. Go check out The Conjuring Part 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. I hope you like it as much as I did. Thanks so much for checking us out this week.